Welcome to Locked On Cardinals. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock. Excuse our absence yesterday. I was under the weather and Bo is busy as always. So we took a day. We decided we're going to do a Tuesday through Friday this week. So excuse us for not being here during the regularly scheduled program. But you can still follow me on Twitter at Clancy's Corner. Follow Bo at Bob Brack. You can follow the podcast at Locked On AZ Cards. Listen to us both on Fox Sports 910 Phoenix. Me 1-4 on the Freaks. Bo 4-7 on the Drive Monday through Friday. So another veteran signing happened this morning, I believe, or yesterday afternoon, but I would assume it's this morning.
Yeah, I mean, it was official this morning. The Arizona Cardinals put out the release that they've signed tight end Charles Clay. So, yeah, the pre-free agency signing frenzy continues for Steve Keim. And, I mean, much like the other guys, Robert Alford, Brooks Reed, and now Charles Clay, it's moves that you can't really argue with. I mean, what's the big deal? When you saw Brooks Reed's going to get $250,000 guaranteed, it's like, that's very low risk.
Low risk and medium reward, I guess.
Sure.
The high reward, the ceiling is definitely not the sky. You know, it's, but,
easy, Michael Jordan.
Yeah, well, no, and I made sure to tiptoe around that. When it comes to Charles Clay, and listen, Bo, guilty as charged, okay? I get excited about names that I know that were Pro Bowlers once in other systems. Mm-hmm. I get excited for new blood because what these three signings have been, and I'm featuring more Robert Alford and now Charles Clay, is competency. Competency of positions that were incompetent for the last season or two with the Cardinals. And Ricky Seals-Jones showed flashes for 2.5 games 2 seasons ago with Blaine Gabbert. He had 3 touchdowns in 2 weeks, had a bunch of catches. It was brought up from the practice squad. Really feel-good story. Now he's a part of the everyday roster. But he didn't do much last year. He had a couple touchdowns. And Jermaine Gresham is maybe the worst offensive player in NFL history. I get it. But Jermaine Gresham, the tight end that came over from Cincinnati years back.
Right.
All he's known for now in Arizona land is personal fouls, holding calls, and dropped passes. That's it. Right. And I'm not being slanted here in my judgment. He signed a 5-year, $25 million deal. He got a bunch of money guaranteed after signing for a penny the year before. So Steve Keim thought, you know, we have to do a make good here and give him all of our salary cap money. Mm-hmm. A guy that's inconsequential in the grand scheme of the offense. He doesn't even block well anymore. So having somebody else jump up the depth chart, I'm hoping that Jermaine Gresham will be third on the depth chart, if at all, on the team starting next season. That's maybe more relief in competency, having a competent tight end come in Charles Clay.
Yeah, you just couldn't rely. I mean, this just kind of shows that the team is willing to make changes, to tweak things, to finally admit that they were wrong in the construction of this roster, right? Yeah. That if they were going to, if they ran it back again with Jermaine Gresham and Ricky Seals-Jones, I mean, that would just be the definition of insanity, right? You were to expect different results and putting the same players out there. And Ricky Seals-Jones, like as you kind of laid out there, he was a guy that there was high expectations because of the run that he had at the end of the 2017 season. And then when you look at his season last year, it just didn't stack up. 34 receptions for 343 yards and a touchdown.
The touchdown was a Sam Bradford touchdown, I think, against Chicago when they scored 2 touchdowns in a row.
Whatever,
I believe.
Yeah, whatever it was, you know, it wasn't enough. I mean, 34 receptions for 330-some yards?
Yeah.
I mean, with the expectations of he was going to be a guy that was going to be a big player in this receiving game.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe it was the offensive line, maybe it was the scheme, maybe it was the inability to get him the ball. But Ricky Seals-Jones was a practice squad player for a reason. Mm. I mean, you're going to have to, if you want him to truly come and be a player and contributor in this league, he's going to need a little bit more time to develop. Is he ever going to get there? I don't know. But the fact that everything you said about Jermaine Gresham was true. The guy,
I wish it wasn't.
I hope that the team, you know, Jermaine Gresham is going to make over $8 million next season. An atrocious contract. One that you thought maybe Steve Keim has pictures out there that Jermaine Gresham has access to and held him, blackmailed him into this contract.
Yeah.
So if you look at the numbers as far as cap money, there would be a $5-plus million dead cap number with Jermaine Gresham's $8-plus million deal for next season. If you cut him, you get $2 million in cap savings. That probably, I haven't seen the numbers on Charles Clay, but it probably pays for him. Why not just get, what? I think that's going to be addition by subtraction.
Oh, sure.
If you can just turn this over, maybe you draft a tight end. I think that'd be nice. Why don't you draft a tight end? Try to go younger at the position. It's a big physical position. It demands a lot. There aren't a lot of tight ends that are really making big moves and really helping out at the late stages of their career outside of guys like Antonio Gates and Jason Witten.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, and you look at the now pressure for tight ends coming out of college to be that offensive, to be a receiver, to be able to block, to be bigger than other people, but also to be a good receiver. I mean, look at what Zach Ertz and Travis Kelce have done.
Mm-hmm.
They've taken what Jimmy Graham did, and they've taken what Gronk has done, mm-hmm. and kind of fused it together into like this powerhouse position that's necessary for a team to win. And I agree. I think Charles Clay was pretty much a fullback that people moved to tight end. So it's like if James Devlin were to move to tight end. It's a little bit bigger. He's a little bit taller. I mean, he's not as girthy as James Devlin, who's a big man. But I think that a guy for a safety valve for a young quarterback, you could have done a lot worse than Charles Clay. And the dude's got good hands. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. I mean, he was Tyrod Taylor's safety blanket for a couple years. Mm-hmm. He had several touchdowns. He did okay in Miami for a couple years, then came over to Buffalo. And the dude caught a bunch of passes for a tight end. He had upwards of 600 yards in four straight seasons, between 500 and 600 yards. And it's something you need from the tight end position moving forward if you want to win in the future. And I get it. He's 30. He will be 30 when the season starts. Just turned 30.
February 13th. He's happy belated birthday, Charles Clay.
You son of a bee. And he comes in, and, you know, there are going to be very small baby-like shoes to fill, but it'll be something that would be very important for the Cardinals moving forward. Now, on the other side, Kyler Murray's story still isn't gone yet. And listen, it makes our jobs easier when Kyler Murray's still relevant, so we're not just beating a dead sooner at this point. But we still don't know how to feel about it here. I speak for Bo and myself. We'll talk about it next. Locked On Cardinals, Alex and Bo. Welcome back, Locked On Cardinals. Charles Clay's the big signing. Woohoo! But here's the thing. When you look at it,
mm-hmm.
three needs have been filled, at least to kind of put glue inside the cracks in the foundation of this team. Like, it won't completely fuse the cracks and make it a full foundation again, but you have a tight end that's competent. You have a cornerback that got paid a lot of money from a different team a couple years ago and was cut for salary cap reasons, and the Cardinals signed him at a somewhat team-friendly deal. And you bring in a linebacker with, you know, it's a $250,000 shot in the dark.
How about that Steve Keim is really going to a well that he's had success in, actually, in his career? When you think about, and he's just doing it earlier in the offseason. Normally, he's making these moves around training camp or mm-hmm. in training camp, and he's making those last-ditch signings, you know, the John Abrahams before he goes to the Pink Pony and gets loaded and gets a DUI. But before that, before John Abraham, who was a producer for the Cardinals, a guy that could, you know, Dwight Freeney, they brought him, and he was effective. He did the whirling dervish Dwight Freeney spin move he was all famous for. Steve Keim does have the ability to identify veteran, worth and guys that can still maybe get it and kind of kick the tires on these guys that have been cast off by other teams.
Yeah.
And Steve Keim has shown that he can do that. I'm going to give him that benefit of the doubt. And I just like that he's kind of being proactive in this. The only thing I think that it's important to talk about is Steve Keim, he's making these moves. He's made three moves now. And I think that it's important that he still has to make a splash when free agency mm-hmm. actually happens on March 13th.
Yeah.
I mean, this can't be the offseason. The cast-offs from other teams, it can't be you just picking up other people's cash, trash, and hoping that it's going to turn out.
Other people's Greg Littles.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
And Bryce Butlers.
I mean, at least that it's not those caliber players.
Right.
And think that we can argue. This offseason, you could probably already say as far as
free agency. Better than last season.
Better than last season.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
agreed.
No doubt about it.
Agreed. And you look at, well, to your point about that, let me start that sentence over correctly. There's going to be a new offense and new defense set mm-hmm. in place. So right. every second early, you get these guys in it. And there are obviously rules about when you can practice and whatnot. Getting these dudes in the jerseys as early as possible is paramount for a brand new regime. It is. You get to know your teammates. You do all this stuff. If you have weeks and weeks ahead of what you had with the new guys from last season, it's a big deal. And if you can start to sculpt around this supporting cast, it may bring in free agents who, if you hadn't signed those guys before, may not have signed here. And again, you're right. These guys aren't extreme impact players. But if you put a Charles Clay on a 3rd-and-7 on the line and you could do read pass option or have him flank out for you know, 5 or 7 yard out for a first down, mm-hmm. it's important to have that guy in just your repertoire.
It's an interesting point because I think it is, as far as free agency players, are they more willing to come join a team and you know,
run pass option, I meant not read pass
pretty
option.
Pretty random team as far as, you know, the Arizona Cardinals. They're not, you know, entrenched in football lore. They're
right,
not
right.
They're not a free agent destination right. as much as probably guys don't want to be shoveling snow during the football season. It's a nice place to play. You got a budding fan base, but they've got a brand new coaching staff, a lot of question marks around it. They did a good job in putting veteran coaches on that staff to help lift up Cliff Kingsbury. But what you're saying about a guy like Clay or Brooks Reed or Robert Alford is when free agents actually hit the market on March 13th, they're going to say, oh, it's not just a bunch of random draft picks that you're developing here.
Right.
They can actually say, yeah, I've seen Charles Clay play. I've heard about him. I know him. I've actually played with him before. Maybe it's a free agent from Buffalo or Miami, or Brooks Reed was in Atlanta, or, you know, Robert Alford was in Atlanta.
Same.
I mean, you're setting up, you're adding to your veteran mix of what free agents can, who they can kind of identify with, right? Instead of just a bunch of young guys that you're developing. I think that there's some value to that.
Agreed. And for those that listen to Locked On Cardinals, first of all, thank you. Second of all, you know that Bo and I won't just blow smoke up your ass just to be, you know, positive for no reason. Like, we've been pretty brutal on this team. And it's more just taking information that we've watched or heard or, you know, seen in person and giving you our opinion based upon that. Not just close our eyes and throw stuff against the wall and see what sticks. This is something that is what productive teams do, is they bring in these little pieces to set the groundwork for bringing in the high-impact guys afterwards. So
right.
These are things, they're calculated moves by a guy that is a gun-wielding, you know, a Bronco sometimes. We have no idea what's going to come out of his mouth, who he's going to sign, how much money he's going to give, and Steve Keim. And these, so I equate it to this. It's a guy that his putter has been failing him. And he is now on the putting green, the practice green, just putting in one-footers. That's what Steve Keim is doing now. And when free agency starts and the draft comes up, he'll be stepping back a foot or two and starting to see if he can get the swing back in motion, which, you know, would allow for a positive moves for this team.
Can we wrap up the Charles Clay by saying that there's what you and I have kind of waxed poetic about Charles Clay as far as his production in 2019? We don't have high expectations
right.
for that, because when you look at the statistics and you look at the injury history, this is a guy who's had 5 knee issues in his career. He played the tight end position for as long as he has. You're going to have a lot of wear and tear
Absolutely.
On that body. He played 13 games last year, 21 catches for under 200 yards, 184 yards to be exact, no touchdowns. So we're not expecting him to come out and actually be that tight end that this fan base, that this team has craved for so long. I mean, who's the last good tight? I mean, they brought in Todd Heap at the end of his career.
Yeah.
Before that, it was like Leonard Pope, who was on their Super Bowl team. He was okay. But there really hasn't been anybody that's played the tight end position at a high level for this organization. I think it's one of those positions that, you know, either the coaching staff really didn't give a crap about, or I don't know, but it's been a position that you've seen in the NFL. You've seen the teams that are successful. The tight end position is a threat on the offense, and I hope that Cliff Kingsbury is going to change that narrative. I did have an interesting just kind of anecdote as far as Steve Keim, the Arizona Cardinals, as far as where they really see themselves and how I hope that they don't lose really the reality check that they received in the 2018 season. I want to talk about that next. Locked On Cardinals.
Wrapping up here, Locked On Cardinals, Alex Clancy, Bo Brock. Before we get to anecdote time with Bo Brock, we'll push the Kyler Murray conversation to tomorrow. You know, it's going to be a rinse and repeat kind of conversation. I know the other more pundits are coming out saying that he's the real deal. Kyler Murray now has said that he doesn't know which drills he's going to be running in the combine. So it could, if it were up to me, I mean, run the 40, lift the weights, and get the hell out of there.
Right. I mean, he doesn't have to prove anything else as far as his passing is concerned.
Right. But you want it to be a Nick Bosa situation where it's, we remember him being good,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we remember, and we don't want to tarnish any of that. But the lifting weights, I think, is important because if you're going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL at that size, that compact size, you got to show your strength, and you have to accentuate how fast you are because that's another reason why somebody's going to draft you.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, his agent said he was 205 at his frame. I mean, he's bulking. I think we will see him throw.
But again, you can't get too big because then people will question, will that slow you down?
Right, yeah. There's a chance, you know, as far as throwers,
it's that scale.
Pitchers, quarterbacks, those are guys that you don't necessarily want to be big and bulky.
And if we hear anything else about that from now and until tomorrow, we will be sure to let you know tomorrow.
I'm sure we will.
So, Bo, go ahead with your
story. I just think the Arizona Cardinals, as far as it, have you ever talked to anybody? Have you ever experienced a near-death experience?
Yes.
Okay. So it really, a lot of times it creates a new perspective, right? And some of the things that you thought you held close or thought of, a lot of the things that you worried about became less important, mm-hmm. right? And you focused on what was important. And I think at 3-13 is the pretty much the equivalent of being near dead in the NFL.
I'd agree with
that. And then I think that as far as the Arizona Cardinals were concerned, there was that reality. Like it was probably one of the worst. I mean, talk about Bruce Arians walking away 2 years ago, but then a year later, you had to fire the guy that he was his successor. You failed at that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was probably rock bottom. And you would hope that. We didn't see a lot from Steve Keim and Michael Bidwell as far as them really owning it. They had pretty much a stopwatch at the press conference, and they were only going to answer the questions that they felt fit that they wanted to answer. But now that we've seen this offseason kind of continue and develop, and we've seen the three signings happen, I think it's important that the Arizona Cardinals continue to realize what's important and how to get out from this 3-13 just disastrous season, because they really lost sight of who they were, what was important in the previous seasons. They, you know, you heard it many times in the 2018 offseason, this is not a rebuild, this is a retool.
Mm-hmm.
They completely lost their way.
It's delusional.
This is a rebuild.
Uh-huh.
And they have to continue that. And they have to continue this new lease on life. And Steve Keim has to continue to kind of his new path and what's going to make him effective. Draw from what made him successful before and also learn from his mistakes. But, I mean, there is a long way to go. And us kind of applauding the hirings of the coaches that we like and the ones we dislike, but and then the hirings of the players that they brought in, I think it's important to continue that momentum, but also not kind of take these small victories and think that it's a success for the entire offseason. There's a long way to go.
Yeah, but we're not moving backwards, which is something that's important. But you can't, I mean, with
as far as that number one pick and what you do with it, that could be make or break.
Yeah.
If you don't trade down, if you end up going, you take the wrong guy at number one, this whole offseason's all for naught, I believe. I mean, it's so big.
I had Bill Rabinowitz on the Freaks that I was on last week. It's, you know, midweek last week, and he writes for the Columbus Dispatch, and we asked him about Nick Bosa, and he said he's the real deal. So this dude loves Breeze, eats football, and he said he's probably better than his brother and all these things. He goes, you know, he's got the core injury, which will heal.
Mm-hmm.
And he said something interesting
as far as his character, his drive,
everything.
Yeah.
Everything. He's like, this guy is not an egomaniac. He's not doing the sitting thing just to do it, just to keep his draft stock high. He wanted to be ready for the NFL. And he just and the injury, the time that it took to recover from the injury, they said he could have played in the playoff if they got there,
mm-hmm.
but he probably wasn't going to. That was just a normal table for return. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't so much that he didn't want to come back and play. It was more the injury that kept him out. So take with it what you wish. But this dude writes for the Columbus newspaper. I mean, there's not much else to write about right now except for Nick Bosa. And
he's dialed in.
So he said he's the real deal, and he would take him at number one.
I saw a mic'd up, too, of Joey Bosa, his brother, playing for the Chargers. And just kind of – he's a fun personality. He's a guy that plays his ass off each and every down, loves the game. I mean, these guys are gym rats. These guys are football lifers. I don't think anybody's questioning Nick or Joey's Bosa's devotion to the game. It's just the one thing that gets me is really, what is Nick Bosa's upside? Is it is his ceiling as high as these other prospects? Is he going to fit and be the impact player that the Cardinals want? And it's really just kind of the difference between him and Quinnen Williams and Josh Allen, it's very slim. So, like, when we're critical and hypercritical on these guys, it's just because you got the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
It's not like – I don't think that Nick Bosa is not going to be a good impact NFL player. It's just, like, what fits the Cardinals the best? Who can be their next – who's going to be the best possible number one pick for the Cardinals?
But let's be honest here, and we'll continue to talk about this tomorrow. Ain't no way they're taking Josh Allen.
Yeah, I think you're about right on
because
that.
Because if he's walking down the street, you can't pick him out. No. Quinnen Williams, you can't pick him out.
Ooh, he's a big boy.
I understand. But, I mean, when it comes to this pick, it will be splashy because it's the Arizona Cardinals and they need it. And we'll talk about that tomorrow. That's an interesting topic. That's something that we haven't, and this is a very organic show at times, we haven't talked about why the Cardinals should draft Nick Bosa. Not because of his play on the field, but because of the media market that would follow. The media coverage that would follow. Taking the guy that everybody else wants because of the sexiness of the position and where he went to school.
You want to get splashy with it.
I want to get splashy with it. That's tomorrow on Locked on Cardinals. Alex and Bo, we'll talk to you then.